Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 33 of All Your Base Podcast. I'm Cheese and Beans, and you can find me on Twitter at Jimmy2Times.
And I'm Nefarian, and you can find me on Twitter at Nefarian.
You can also follow the show at AYB Podcast on Twitter, or get in touch with us via our email at aybpodcast@gmail.com. So, take two. We just tried this, and it all went a bit sideways, so we're trying a different method now. And let's quickly try and recap then what we were talking about on the first effort at this week's show. We were talking about a game that we basically started talking about what John had been playing this week, and we were talking about World of Tanks. Is it called, John?
I was indeed. It was World of Tanks, which is basically a tank game where you have to destroy six opposing tanks, and I don't know what my... There's not a lot more to say than that's all it is, killing other tanks and upgrading your tank to different classes and different abilities. That's quite a fun game. I've played it on PC before, but this is the first time it's been released on console. So okay. I was just really trying it to see what the differences were, really.
And one of the bonuses about this game, obviously, is that it's free as well, isn't it, on the Xbox One?
It is indeed. It is free. It's quite a hefty download. It's like 40 gig, so...
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, better leave that on going through the night, then.
Yeah, it's not that so much as the fact that I have to worry about disk space, which is a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, I kind of found already that I've practically maxed out the Xbox's... internal hard drive, but I think obviously the mass of that is from the EA Access, with all the games I've downloaded from there. So I'm not that I'm moaning about it. I think it's a fantastic service. Mentioned it before, but it's just at the minute I just don't really have 40 gig spare on there. So, but it looks good. It looks good.
I'm having to juggle installs as well. It's a bit of a nightmare. So I think I'll probably try and pick up a 2 terabyte drive later in the year.
Cheeky little plug and play.
Yeah, well, Western Digital will do a nice one, 2 terabyte for about £75. So
nice. That's a good price, man. Those up.
I've got an external hard drive, but it's not USB 3, it's USB 2, so I can't use it, unfortunately.
Is it with the USB 2 they just don't work, or is it just a lot slower?
USB 2 isn't fast enough.
Okay.
So it's all right. You can use it for playing back videos and music and stuff like that and dumping save game files on, but you need USB 3 to get anywhere close to the hard drive speed of the internal on the Xbox. So I played that, and then I went on... I've actually been playing World of Warships, which is in beta, which is by the same company. And that's quite good as well. I quite like the boat aspect. It's more fun than the tanks, because obviously you haven't got so much line of sight to hide behind rocks and things.
Yeah,
it's more full-on, slugging it out until somebody...
You finding that you're saying down your microphone, he sunk my battleship.
Yeah, kind of. I'm in this kind of like weird early World War II steamer type thing, because it starts early pre-war up to them, the tail end of the war.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Did you get U-boats on there, like submarines? Or
no, there's no submarines on it. It's just pure warships. Oh. I mean, there's enough of them in the Second World War. You've got Japanese, Russian, British, American. So it's got all nationalities, even Swedish, Norwegian, all that sort of stuff. So
this is a beta, is it?
Yeah. There's no Cornish fishing boats, unfortunately. But
rubber dinghies.
Yeah, there's no yachts or anything. It's purely there's no U-boats, which is a bit weird, but there you go.
Okay. Anything else?
I've been playing... I played a bit of Minecraft on the Xbone.
Oh, I love Minecraft. I love it.
Yeah. I keep falling asleep playing it, though, because of the music.
It's so chilled out. Somebody got me the sort of soundtrack for it. And it is, man. It's so relaxing. Really, really is. It's a chilled out game to play, isn't it? I mean, you can't. I could never imagine sort of rage quitting a game of Minecraft.
No,
could never imagine that.
I was playing with my girlfriend's 14-year-old boy, and yeah. He was. I was in survival mode, and he was in creative mode. And we were just doing crazy stuff like spawning loads of sheep when we needed sheep and all sorts of things. So,
can you do, I mean, I didn't know you could do that. That's really good.
You can. You can't get any achievements doing it that way, though.
No, but I mean, when I kind of play with my daughter, you know, I prefer to play, and she's four. I mean, I prefer to play the survival mode, and, you know, she prefers kind of creative. I didn't know that you could kind of split the two out. So that's really cool, really intuitive.
I don't know how we did it. I can't remember exactly because I didn't set it up. Because I'm not a Minecraft aficionado. I don't know all the admin stuff. But yeah, you can do that. You know, you can give people invisibility, flying, all that sort of stuff. So I don't really want to spend the whole show talking about Minecraft because it's probably been talked about a billion times.
Yeah, definitely. It's a bit old hat now, isn't it? But still a great game. And yeah, I'll have to jump on that myself at some point, give it a proper go. But platinumed it on the PS4, and I wouldn't mind getting all the gamer score on Xbox One. Mm. Okay, so what have I been playing this week? I've been playing some Xbox One. I jumped on and played some Halo 2 online. Now, this is going to lead on a little bit, boys and girls, as to something we're going to be talking about, I guess, a bit more at length throughout the show, which is going to be about multiplayer gaming. So just to kind of, I guess, kick on to that, I was playing some Halo 2 with a host of another good podcast, which John, you know, is kind of a part of. I've been lucky enough to appear on the show a couple of times. That's Flyshy from the Loopcasters, or the Infinite Loopcast. We've been sort of chatting in this kind of group that myself and John and him are in, just kind of talking about sort of stuff to do with Xbox, and just so happened he was going to be on that night, and I jumped on and played a bit of Halo 2 multiplayer with him. And so I was saying to John kind of off air, I got my backside handed to me, and it was pretty humbling, to be honest. I mean, I guess what this has kind of shown me is that, you know, I think I've been, well, not just myself, but I think anyone that's really played sort of Destiny and got into it to the level that, you know, I feel that I have, that we've been a bit spoiled when it comes to kind of playing on, you know, online FPSs, especially in this kind of genre anyway, because when it comes to Destiny, I think I'm actually, you know, quite a good player. My KD on PvP is normally sort of 2.5, you know, sometimes higher. You know, when it comes to kind of PvE, you know, I've done all the end game stuff, and you know, I've kind of done all that, been there, done that kind of thing. And then to come on kind of Halo, where everybody's kind of guns are the same, everybody's that, it's a level playing field. It really goes to show that, you know, the guys that have got the skill, know the maps, absolutely beasted me. And I think, you know, don't get me wrong, I love Destiny and I'll continue to play it, but I think it has probably spoiled, at least, you know, for the foreseeable future, any other kind of online shooter game for me, because, I mean, I ended up having to map my controls to Destiny controls, which really didn't help too much. You know, I was looking for double jumps, I was looking for sprints, I was looking for slides, and, you know, none of these were kind of available on the Halo 2 multiplayer. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Even though I got my ass whipped, you know, I really enjoyed it. But I think it just goes to show that, you know, with the kind of perks, the weapons and things that you can get in Destiny, that when you go back to playing kind of a vanilla shooter where everyone's kind of got the same thing, you're going to be in for a world of hurt, boys and girls. At least I was. So that was Halo 2. Enjoyed that. I've been playing a little bit of that Rocket League as well. You know, the car game with the whole football thing. What do you think about that? I think that's ever so good.
I really like it. I mean, I've played it for quite a lot of hours. I think I'm two trophies off the platinum for it.
Nice.
I really like it as well. It's just a fun little pick up and play game, but it's one of those games that you pick up, play, and then just keep playing and keep playing. And, you know, I think as well, because the matches are quite short.
Yeah.
And although I've played against some quite good players on it, it is kind of random whether you win or lose. So, you know, because you're bouncing all over the shop and then you're rocketing into the ball when it's in the air, and it's all kind of trying to bounce it off people. It's all kind of a bit random, but it's fun.
You never really have complete control of the kind of ball or sphere or whatever, do you? It's kind of what it reminds me of is there was a game back in the days of the Amiga called Kickoff, which was like, it was like football. The only thing is that your players never actually had like full control of the ball, so you really had to kind of move around in sort of angles to try and keep control of that ball, if that makes sense. And I found it such a hard game to play. I mean, I find this a lot easier and a lot more fun, to be honest. Kickoff was always the poor man's sensible soccer, but I really do enjoy it, and it's quite sort of fast paced, not overly fast, but fast enough to get the old adrenaline pumping. And you know, the games can be either, you know, can be quite close, or you know, if you come up against, you know, got a decent team, you can kind of get your bum smacked a little bit. So it's one of them where, yeah, as you say, it's quite random kind of as to who you come up against. And but yeah, I've been enjoying that. There are other bits and pieces. Well, they're kind of, I guess, my two kind of highlights of the week. Obviously, been, you know, back on Destiny and doing bits and pieces on there. Hit rank 5 with the Iron Banner, and bought the helmet and broke it down by mistake. So that was 5k down the pan.
Oh, I never went for the helmet. I took the chest piece, because it looked cool. But the helmet, I was like, well, it's not really giving me any stats that I need.
Yeah.
There's no perks on them, where there's either just discipline, or I think it was intellect or strength or discipline, something like that. But it was just, it was the same helmet model, wasn't it? Just different stats on it. But
yeah,
the problem for me is I always end up running out of glimmer all the time, and this is because I can never decide which weapon I want to upgrade. So I end up upgrading so many at once that I'm always out of glimmer. So I have to stick with some weapons and focus on them.
Well, the thing is, matey, is that this evening, boys and girls, after the show, sorry, guys, I'm just having a little reposition of myself. I can't reach my cup of tea from where I was sitting. What we're planning on doing tonight after the show is to crack on with a couple of raids. Now, Destiny, Bungie have sort of said that throughout the kind of the first year of the game, there have been these kind of little challenges that I guess they haven't actually told us that have been set. But now it turns out that they actually had set them, and that if you've done all these things, then you get a new kind of emblem for your card, isn't it? It's kind of a what would you call that?
The player card thing.
That's the fella. Yeah, let's go. Let's go with that. It's better than what I had. And yeah, you've basically got to do kind of, you know, X, Y, and Z to get all these things, and a couple of those things were to run through a couple of the raids on hard. So some of the guys that we know, they're still out, sort of still awaiting to do that. So we're going to run through that and kind of help them with that. But the reason I bring that up is because there is a spot on the Vault of Glass where, at the end, before anything comes out, you've got the gatekeeper there when you actually go into the vault, and there's like a half moon shape that you can run round. You can take out about 13, I think, or 14. These yellow half kind of special kind of minotaurs. I don't know what their names are off the top of my head, but if you're using a blue sort of polyphange and there's kind of three of you running around that, in half an hour you can max out 25k, and it's by far the best farming place in the game with very, very little effort. If you don't know where that is, boys and girls, send in a little tweet to us at Twitter. I can talk you through it. You can, you should be able to find this on kind of YouTube by now. But I'll be able to sort of show you where this is, mate. And that way, for next time when the Iron Banner comes, you can have a steady cash flow.
Well, that's good. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to do the Iron Banner again. I mean, I've done it four times now, so.
Yeah. I think they need to start bringing some new stuff in. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm still waiting for my Foul Winter's Lie. I've got me Yellowhorns now. Yellowhorns, my Yolder's Hammers. I've got me Aethryd's Spears, Radagast Furies, my Teemo's Lash. So yeah, for me, Foul Winter's Lie, I'll be well happy with a couple of them. Although in saying that, now that they've kind of nerfed it a little bit, and you know they've taken away some of the perks that made it, you know, so deadly.
Yeah.
It's almost the only reason I really want it is for the name. I wouldn't really use it. I think I've got a really good Party Crasher. I've got a really good Matador 64, and then what's that other one I've got? The Hide and Seek 0.42, which was pre DLC. Pre-first DLC, I think.
Yeah.
So, that kind of kicks it.
I've used Foul Winter's Lie, Matador, and the Party Crash, and I think the Party Crash is better than both of those, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, cool, man. Well, so, coming from a Foul Winter's Lie wielder, I'll take that as a big thumbs up then for the Party Crasher. But I mean, while we're on the subject of Destiny, just before, I mean, again, this is leading on, I suppose, to the whole kind of multiplayer thing that, you know, we're going to sort of talk about on the show. But you sent us a really sort of cool article earlier on, John, and I just wanted to sort of touch on a few bits about this, because, I mean, you guys know, the listeners know that, you know, this show, we're not too proud to say that we do love sort of Destiny as a game, and you know, I mean, certainly, you know, play it still. Coming up around the corner, you know, September's going to be bringing the launch of the Taken King, which a lot of people are looking forward to. A lot of people are quite sceptical about, and a lot of people are going to avoid. And as I say, John had sent us over this article today, which I had a little read of while I was on my commute home, and I'm not too sure kind of what to make of all of it. There are parts of the article which are kind of, I agreed, and you know, in fact, when the trailer that was on there, that was the first time I'd seen that trailer for The Taken King. Was it Become Legend, I think the trailer's called.
Yeah.
I thought that trailer was so cool, man. Really, really liked it.
I think it was actually Matt that sent the article over, not me, but...
Okay.
He linked it off Eurogamer's website. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they discuss... it's a sort of brief interview with the devs trying to big up what you're going to get for your money.
Yeah.
And they say you get 8 missions. Well, I worked it out that it'd be about £9 a mission. So that's why I said it better be good for that money. but then they said there's a second part, and then it went really vague, so I'm not sure. We know the new raid's going to be called The King's Fall, I think.
That's right, yeah.
But apart from the name, it's going to be the best one that they've done. So, I mean, that's as vague as you get, really.
Yeah. I'll just sort of go on to what you were saying there about this kind of the second part, second act. It mixes kind of story missions, requests for additional lore and an exotic weapon, more strikes, plus the introductions to the Dreadnought's public events and secrets. So it is quite vague into kind of, doesn't really go into it as much, but certainly gives us, I suppose, a little bit of a taste as to, you know, what's to come. And of course, now Peter Dinklage is gone. They've replaced him, and his dialogue is actually going to be replaced in the vanilla Destiny as well, according to this article. All the kind of the dialogue that he did in sort of vanilla Destiny and sort of subsequent parts from that are all going to be replaced with the voice of Nolan North.
Yeah, and I think also, yeah, because Nolan's re-recording some of the original parts, isn't he? So
yeah.
I don't. I mean, that just shows you that's all the audio that they recorded is what was in the game at release. And obviously, I would have thought that if we assume for a second some of that content was developed for later on release, the expansions, you would have thought there would have been dialogue actually pre-recorded for that, but it just shows you that there wasn't. So,
yeah.
Hence bringing in Nolan North.
Yeah, the dialogue was a little bit of an afterthought. Just reading here as well that, you know, obviously what's happened previously is we've had these kind of level caps, you know, 30, 32, 34. Apparently, according to this article anyway, on Eurogamer, we're now looking at a level cap of 40 to chase, which okay, kind of sounds, you know, in the right kind of ballpark. I'd heard kind of rumours that it was going to be 50, which at the time when I'd heard it, I thought that seems a bit too steep. When we're looking at, we've only gone up sort of two levels in the past, to jump to 50 is absolutely massive. But 40, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it would be level 38 when it plucked, and then light levels after that.
Yeah.
So I am looking forward to it, and I'll probably get more interested around as we get closer to release.
Yeah.
I'm still, as I said in last week's episode, I'm still a bit sceptical about the price and the value, but then that's the same with most things. Because the problem with this is when you buy a game in the shop, you can look at the price, and if you don't think it's worth that price, you wait, and then the price falls. But this is the same thing Activision do. Even the old Call of Duty games, the season pass is still the full price, even now, for older Call of Duties. So they don't drop. They don't tend to drop, you know, DLC prices.
No.
So, you know, they can afford to go low on the main game, almost give it away for nothing, because they know that they'll pick it up back up on the DLC.
Yeah, if people want to play the maps that everyone else is playing or use the guns that everyone else is using, then they're going to have to cough up PAL and fork out for the, you know, for the DLC. But I found a really good deal, mate, actually. In fact, it's the cheapest that I've found it. Now, boys and girls, you've heard this here first. Get this on your shopping list for September. Is it September 15th it drops? Zavvi.com, I've got an offer on at the moment where for the Legendary Edition, so that's Vanilla Destiny with... The two DLCs, so the Crota's End, the House of Wolves, and with the new Taken King episode, or whatever you want to call it, the new DLC anyway, all of it for £40.
Oh, bargain.
Now, me for one, what I'm planning on doing with that is getting it and then taking that Taken King code and then popping that in. And then the rest of it, I'm going to flog on eBay, which, you know, if I get 15, 20 quid for it, for me, you know, I'm happy that, for me, that's worth it then. I mean, at 40 quid, it's probably a bit too much. You know, they're on about these little extras you can get with the guns and you know, maybe a shader or you know, whatever else, they're going to throw at kind of people that buy the Legendary Edition. But for £40, that's the best price I've seen for it. Just thought I'd share that with all y'all on Tinternet. If you want to head over to Zavvi.com, that's a pre-order price. So you know what, you pay that now, and you know they're not going to hike the price up. If the price goes up, that's still you know kind of what you get it for, £40. So there you go. Destiny Taken King coming next month.
While we're talking about bargains, you probably, I don't know if you saw this, but Amazon had a limited number of Xbox One, the new Elite controllers to sell, and they put them up at half price, and now they're all gone. So, they were 75 notes for what is supposed to be retailing at 119, I think.
Wow.
So... yeah, I tried to get in there, but I wasn't quick enough. They'd all gone within 6 hours. So, they were only pre-order ones, but they were fixed at that price.
So, of course, now you know they're all gone. They'll whack it, their next batch up to 119. And
I'm not sure. I mean, it might be an indication that they're just seeing what people are willing to pay for what is 120 quid's worth RRP. So. You know, I don't mind paying 90 quid for that controller because it's one of those things where you can swap the parts that wear and tear, and I don't think you'd need to buy another controller for the life of the Xbox One.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just on Amazon as we talk now, and you know, they're rocking out the official Xbox One Titanfall Special Edition one for £85. Mm. So, when you think about the additional features that new the new one has, the Elite one has,
yeah,
it's definitely something I would look at. I mean, I've never owned a SCUF controller, but I do hear really good things about them for kind of FPSs and stuff, and I'd never rule out buying one. But that's something that's custom made, and for me, they always look a little bit tacky. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas with these ones, I mean, they look legit, man. They look premium is the word I'm looking for, not legit. Although they do look legit, it looks like a premium piece of kit, and I guess that's what you're paying for, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're paying for the fact that you can strip it down, change parts, and swap, you know, triggers out and all sorts, you know.
Mm.
I think also there's more precision in the D-pad. I think the thumbsticks are better quality. I think they're metal actually. Rather than plastic.
I'm just actually looking on and the little pad, because you've got additional paddles now.
Yeah, you've got the two paddles underneath.
Yeah.
But I as soon as that was shown at E3, I was like, I want that. Just because it looks cool. And I'm used to buying sort of like specialist gear for the PC like that, so you know, flight sticks and all that sort of stuff, so.
Yeah, they have indeed gone up to $119.99, mate. I'm just on Amazon now, pre-order. But yeah, £119. I'll probably wait until that drops down a little bit. It's a little bit too rich for my blood.
If my good lady's listening, maybe she'll put a hand in a pocket or in a purse
and hook a brother up.
Yeah, exactly. Because I need all the controllers you can get.
You need all the controllers you can get for two hands. That's all, you know. Two hands need multiple controllers.
That's all right.
So, yeah, anyway, we were talking, I mentioned at the start of the show, and we've touched on, I guess, a couple of things related to it, but multiplayer gaming is something that we were going to talk about on the show this week, matey. And I guess, you know, our experiences of it, and good thing or bad thing. I don't think it can be a bad thing. It's one of the main things that draws me to online gaming is multiplayer, whether that be, you know, PvE or PvP. How about yourself?
I think it's good. I just think the way it's implemented depends how good the experience is.
Yeah.
You've got a system called MMR, which basically the better you do, the more it's supposed to match you with equal ability opponents, so that, you know, none of you have a massive, huge advantage over each other. To keep games competitive. So most online gaming now has a ranking system, and that's what it chooses to match you with. The only issue I have with it is whether it uses peer-to-peer, whether it uses one person as the host and everybody connects to the host, as in Call of Duty, or whether it uses dedicated servers, aka Battlefield, where you are always guaranteed a reasonable high-speed connection, and you're not limited by somebody that's got a poor upload for hosting.
Yeah, and in which case you're gonna have a poor experience, really, aren't you? You know, you're gonna not really hang around that game very long.
You'll see people teleporting around, which just basically is lag.
Yeah,
and that's the thing that kills it. I mean, multiplayer goes back to the days of Counter Strike. On LANs, where you know you've got 100 megabit connection between every computer. Now, to get that sort of connection over copper wires, even just in the UK, would be very difficult. I'm not saying that you need 100 megabits, but that's the maximum speed it could run at. So I mean, if you imagine you're updating your screen with what you're doing on the screen, then that has to go to a server, and then that has to update everybody else's screen or the person that's looking at you at the time. That's quite a lot of information to send back and forth. All you need is a little bit of interference on the line, and you get these things called drop packets, which is the data sending little packets. And as soon as you drop packets, that's when you get the teleport, because you know the last update wasn't there, it's missing, so it's just sort of jumping like a CD skipping.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that ruins the experience. And it's as only as good as the network code that the devs put into the game. So,
what I mean, I wouldn't say I've particularly had any bad experiences with multiplayer online. It's all been kind of relatively steady. I know recently we've had some issues. You know, Bungie have sort of tried to address this, and I'm only using Destiny as an example, guys, because it's a game that I play the most, and it's the game that I play most online. But you got these. I don't really want to swear. Shall I swear?
Well, if it's mild.
I don't do mild. We'll keep those words for after the watershed, boys and girls. But these people that have been using these kind of lag switches and, you know, interrupting play on purpose to gain an advantage in the Trials of Osiris. Man, if you're not a good player, don't come to Trials. Don't flick your little switch on and off so you can, you know, lag around and kill me from behind. You know, that's absolute bullshit. And, you know, that's an example of people doing something on purpose to interfere with play and ruin everyone else's experience, really. But that's probably been, to memory anyway, my only real kind of issue with kind of multiplayer this generation, definitely. How about yourself? Have you run into anything like that?
I've had a thing called rubber banding, which is when you perform an action on your screen and then the game, you're lagging behind the rest of the game, and so you sort of You try to run forward, but you can't. You get pulled back. It was more common in driving games, like in Drive Club. It had loads of problems with rubber banding, where you would just be, you would just really not know where you were because you were trying to, you know, you couldn't. You were just waiting for all the other cars to catch up with what you were doing. So that's the only. And the only other thing is, as you say, is people using lag switches or deliberately slowing down their connection to, you know, get a few hundredths of a second advantage over somebody. But that's just it's really difficult. I mean, it must be difficult from a technical point of view to detect who's using the lag switch and who isn't, or who's just got crappy internet.
Yeah, who's it that's trying to play it on dial-up, and who is it that's actually interfering with it on purpose to gain an advantage? I mean that's down to them, you know, the people that are kind of, you know, are in charge of those servers, you know, the people that are running those online games, that they need to be sort of, you know, moderating that in a way that where, you know, they've got their eye on it, and that, you know, they've got processes in place to try and kind of eliminate that. And I know that sort of, you know, there's been a thing with Bungie this week where, you know, they've kind of swung their sort of ban hammer, as they've called it, and, you know, hundreds of people have been had their accounts suspended or, you know in other ways kind of revoked, so they're no longer able to play. And you know, to those kind of to those people that that's happened to, all I can just say is ha ha, because you shouldn't have been cheating in the first place. You'd have been playing it properly like we've been. And, you know, if you've been banned, it's your own fault. I've got no sympathy for you. You should learn to play the game properly. But, yeah, I'm not going to whinge anymore about that. I sounded a bit bitter and twisted. I'm not, but it comes across that way. But, yeah, just, it's something that really, really kind of gripes me. In saying that, you know, I was one of the, I did, in fact, pull my LAN cable to see whether the Crota would stay down on one knee, and he did. So, you know, I did it once. I'm not kind of proud of that fact. I mean, you know, I can beat him now, you know, perfectly, you know, perfectly the normal way and quite easily as well. But yeah, once upon a time when my PlayStation used to be hardwired, somebody told me that it worked. I tried it, and I mean, I wasn't at the party. I didn't get any rewards from it. But yeah, it worked. But there you go. But like games then. So, I mean, you know, a lot of people play, you know, the first-person shooters online, and they kind of see that as the kind of pinnacle of online gaming. I've got a feeling that you're going to be saying something along the lines of MMOs and things, mate. Where do you kind of stand on kind of the pinnacle of online gaming? What should people be playing on, you know, using their online functions or their systems for? What games?
I'm going to say Battlefield, purely because if you've never been in a 64 person battle, Just having that experience is definitely worth, and also it gives you a good run of how your internet's performing. That's an amazing experience, and I think your people will see that when they start playing Star Wars Battlefront at the end of this year. That's going to be a big one in terms of esport. If you want, they're very competitive, then you're looking at games like StarCraft, which is a real-time strategy game. I was watching some coverage of ESL today on Twitch, which is like the European esports league of StarCraft. And basically, it's not a Twitch shooter, so it's not based on your reactions. This is pure strategy where it's based on your ability to outthink your opponent. And obviously, things like Dota 2, the MOBAs, which, you know, you're looking at $1 million prize money for that. So I mean, that is really, I suppose you could call that the pinnacle.
If you're looking at that sort of, that kind of prize money, I mean, I think I've got Awesome Noughts Assemble, which is that's a MOBA, isn't it? And I've never really got into it, man. In fact, I think I played it 2 or 3 times and just thought, this is absolute pants. What have I wasted a tenner here for? But I think, you know, I need to be expanding my horizons a little bit. I think, again, you know, with the whole kind of Destiny universe and stuff, I've really become blinkered into what online experiences can be had on the. In my kind of eyes, I'm only looking at sort of PS4 and Xbox One. I don't really sort of play too much gaming on the Mac, and I sold my PC a few months ago now. But I really need to be sort of looking a bit further afield as to these different types of games and other things that are out there and what they've got to offer, because it's not good to be this blinkered, man.
I was going to say, there is on Xbox One, there is a beta for Smite, which is a MOBA that was on PC that they've ported over to console. So you can give that a shot, because that is a MOBA, which is, I think, massively online battle arena, I think they call it. But I mean, even if you just play, the car football game we were talking about earlier, I mean, that is a multiplayer game, although it is quite limited in terms of strategy. I think obviously the beat 'em ups as well are pretty good for if you want multiplayer action. It depends whether you want competitive multiplayer or whether you want cooperative.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm talking about Destiny, but for me that's probably one of the reasons why I've spent so much time with the game, is because it offers me both, you know, the PvE with the raids and you know, things like that. And then you've got, you know, like the PvP, the, you know, Trials of Osiris, the Iron Banner, and all that kind of stuff. It's just, you know, you've got the whole kind of package there. But yeah, the touching on the beat 'em ups, the beat 'em thing that you mentioned there, John. You know, I'm mad keen on my beat 'em ups. Street Fighter 2, I've been on that all day long, for years and years now. Massive fan of Street Fighter. I've got Mortal Kombat as well. Killer Instinct. Even if I was to fire up the PS3, I've got, you know, I've got on there Marvel vs. Capcom. There's King of the Fighters, I think 97, I think. So, you know, I've got no excuses. And boys and girls, my pledge to you is that this week I will play a little less Destiny, and for next week's show, I'll be able to talk a little bit more about the fighters that I've been playing, because, you know, they used to be my bread and butter games, and I've really kind of let that slide.
I think the good thing about the next gen is it is acting as a convergence between platforms. So you're going to be able to play MOBAs, you're going to be able to play your Destinies and your Call of Duties and all that. But you know the games like Smite, which were pure PC, are now creeping onto the console, so they're going to a wider audience. So,
I don't suppose you've got a rough idea of how big that file is, because I did actually see that on the Xbox Store, and I was interested by it, because is it kind of like a gods thing? Is it kind of like the Greek gods kind of thing? Is it, or?
Yeah. I mean, Smite, basically you play as one of the Greek gods, and you have 3 lanes, and you both have towers in each lane, and basically the idea is to destroy the enemy's towers, and whilst battling the heroes, which are the other players, and then get to the core of the enemy's base and destroy that, and then your team wins. So it's cooperative team versus team play. The skill comes with actually fighting the players. So there will be NPCs, but as you play Titanfall, it's a similar system where you've got your NPCs, which are just really cannon fodder for other players, and also to rank you up as you play. But the real battle is between you and the other heroes. So it's, and also there's a lot of skill in knowing what character you like to play, what their role is, you know, what gear to take, what skills to train to use in combat. So I suppose in a way it is a bit like a cross between a beat 'em up and a sort of a first person shooter in a way, because I mean there is reaction time in there, but it's not the major thing. The major skill is knowing who to take, where to fight, and you know, basically out level your the other team. So you level quickly, you can then overpower the other team, so they really struggle to make a comeback. You've played Titanfall, haven't you? You know the similar sort of thing where you know the Titans are key to sometimes to winning the map. Other times you're just sort of running around, you know, shooting the NPCs to get XP to level up to cool down your Titan. So you know it's got more of an interesting combat mechanic, should we say?
Yeah.
You know, and also you don't have to just rely on you. It's not a solo effort. It's a team effort, which makes it really good fun as well.
I think but that's one I'm going to be looking at for sure. As I say, it had caught my eye. I'd kind of been a little bit put off by, I wasn't really too sure what it was. I needed to kind of look into it a bit more, but yeah, just you know, other things kind of get in the way, and I never really got around to it. But I'll definitely have a look at that, mate.
Yeah, cool.
Driving games online. I mean, we sort of spoke about kind of the whole kind of rubber banded thing. I guess that's kind of a negative thing. For driving games, but what about have you had any sort of really good experiences of playing games online? I remember back on the original Xbox and then 360, I used to play a lot of Project Gotham Racing, and I used to love that game and never had any problems with it at all. I made some really good kind of online friends on, you know, I used to play with regularly on that game. Really hoping that they bring a version of it to the Xbox One, because I'll be playing that all the time, man. I really love that game. But yeah, as far as kind of driving games go, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't want to dash your hopes, but Bizarre Creations, who were the studio, are no longer. So I think it would have to be if they did a reboot. And I don't know. I think because they kind of went towards Need for Speed. Because that was happening around a similar sort of time, so I don't know. Project Gotham would have to be picked up by Codemasters maybe, or somebody that does racing games. Unfortunately, Bizarre are no more. I used to play a game called Blur. I don't know if you remember this one.
Yeah, it was out a similar time as that Split Second Velocity. They came out very, very sort of closely together, those two games. But yeah, I remember it. Yeah, it was good, though. It was
a
PS3, I think.
Mixture between Need for Speed and Mario Kart, wasn't it? Because you used to go around collecting power-ups and...
That's right, yeah.
It was good fun. But, I mean, even Mario Kart's pretty good online. I played the original. I haven't played the new one, but the 8, I think it is. But I enjoy 7. Mario Kart. It's good fun.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and that, although, you know, with its cartoony graphics and, you know, it's... It kind of seems, you know, a lot less serious than some of the other driving games. Really, if you take away those cartoony graphics, mate, there's a hardcore racing game to be had there. And I love Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. but it's still not enough to make me want to buy a Wii U, I'm afraid. That's probably the only thing that I would have it and play it for. I mean, the, you know, my elder three kids have got one at their mum's, but for me, I can't really see the point. I don't see the point in having it.
Bizarrely, I was watching somebody on Twitch streaming Mario 64, and I was watching that this morning.
Oh yeah, how was it looking?
It looks old, but it still looks like a really fun game. And I love, as I said before, one thing I like about Nintendo is I love the colours, and you know, just the level design's always exquisite.
Yeah.
You know, and Nintendo games hold their value, which is another thing that you got to respect. That, you know, they don't produce so much, but what they do produce is quality, and it holds its value.
Yeah.
I'm interested to play Monster Hunter on the Wii U.
Okay.
Because I got it on 3DS, and that's okay, but the screen is so small, and it would just be brilliant to play it on a larger screen with a bit more detail. Yeah.
I'll be honest, mate. I chopped my version of Monster Hunter for the 3DS in, and I'm actually going to be getting rid of the console this weekend. I just don't play it. You know, I've had the new Mario Brothers kind of 3D game, which is really good. I've been playing some Smash Brothers, which again, you know, is really, really cool. But I just prefer the Vita. It feels like a more grown up console. The games on there are games I kind of prefer playing. Mm. You know, it's got that remote sort of play feature for the PS4, which I love. And with the fact it's just kind of sitting there, I've said before on the show, you know, for me, I do, yeah, at times I have to kind of recycle games and recycle some sort of tech and stuff that I'm not using, because, you know, the wife has other priorities, namely the children. But you know, so for me, I can't really justify having something sitting there which I know that I'm going to be able to chop in for, you know, with the games for probably about 80 or 90 quid, and then that's, you know, that's me a few more games for the Xbox and the PS4, which, you know, are going to get played.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, talking about Xbox and PS4, I've just ordered, as I mentioned, I was saying to John off air actually about this, they should be arriving tomorrow. We've got God of War, the remastered edition, which, you know, was previously on the PS3. Love those kind of games, you know, those kind of Devil May Cry, you know, hack and slash kind of combo building sort of, I guess, fighting games, I suppose, or, you know, not so much beat 'em ups, but and then we've got the Rare Collection. Is that what it's called? The Rare Collection?
Yeah, which has actually Rare got Replay, some like Spectrum games in it as well.
Yeah, I was doing a bit of reading about this. So not all the games are on the disc as well, which is a bit of, you know, it's a bit misleading. Mm. some of them, it kind of, when you put the disc in it, it kind of prompts you to the page on the store, where you then just download them and install them on your Xbox One hard drive, which, I mean, I haven't really got a problem with. It's a lot of content for, like, what, 17 quid I think I paid for it, just for Perfect Dark, to be able to play Perfect Dark, Banjo-Tooie and Banjo-Kazooie. Would I have paid that just for those three games? Probably not, but you are getting, you know, a lot of other stuff with that. So yeah, I mean, I think it's money well spent. I don't think you're going to find that, you know, kind of anywhere else game wise that's going to probably offer you that much content for such a little price. I think it's right up there with sort of value for money.
Yeah, I'm interested to play the Rare Collection, because some of those games, like the Banjo one, I've never ever played. So, and I love Spectrum games, so I'm probably quite interested in playing those. It'd be nice to play them legitimately rather than through an emulator. Well, we won't talk about that on the show. We don't use things like that. But
no.
Yeah, I'm, and I know you've pre-ordered Gears of War, and I'm looking forward to playing that. I think that's 25th of August.
It is, mate. Yeah. So again,
I will be all over that, because I played the beta, and I love Gears of War. It's one of my favourite 360 games. So
yeah, that kind of, you know, the cover mechanic and the weapons. You know, you got the sort of chainsaw on the front of the gun.
Yeah,
man. loved it on the 360. On my old 360 account, I got the I got all the gamer score from I think the first three Gears of War games. I want to say
it's just a shame it's just the first one, but the first one was one of my favourites, and I think also it's fair to mention that you can play the campaign in co-op as well, which is really good.
Looking forward to playing a bit of that with your mate, definitely.
Yeah, we'll be all over that, I should imagine.
Oh, yeah. Like a non-diabetic person. Well,
until
on
Taken
cake.
King comes out. So at least a couple of weeks.
Yeah, until Taken King comes out, and then we're going to need to get on that, drill that. And we've got a new boss to kill and that kind of thing. But looking forward to these games that are coming out, mate. And once these ones come tomorrow, I think that should be me set then for until the Taken King comes out, unless I get an urge to spend. In which case, I have been looking at Devil May Cry. I have been looking at Diablo 3 for the Xbox One. I didn't play out the PS4. Nice.
I seem to end up with most things. I don't know.
I didn't play it on the PS4, and I know that. Yeah. I'd heard you talking about it on the other show, and I just something about it. I just thought, I really want to give this a try. The Witcher 3 is one I've been looking at for Xbox One. On eBay, that's going for depending on what time of day you go on. I've seen it go for £18 today.
Yeah.
So.
That'll keep you busy for 200 hours.
Yeah, exactly. See, this is another thing.
And then you've got Fallout 4 as well coming.
I mean, that's another one which I'm kind of looking forward to. Something I feel a little bit let down by. I've watched a few gameplay trailers and multiplayer demos of Black Ops 3. Now, I love Black Ops 1, and Black Ops 2 was decent as well. I just kind of feel, from what we've seen. I mean, I know that you Call of Duty fan, and you still play the latest one, the Advanced Warfare, but I think for me, Call of Duty's had its day. I can't really see them kind of bringing it back to where it needs to be.
I think if they went retro, if they brought back the World War II stuff, which is what made it great in the first place. There's nothing wrong. I mean, where they're going to go once they've gone into future warfare? Where are they going to go into like next dimension of warfare? I mean, you can only go so far along the line, and they're into I don't know what year they're in, like 2044 now or something ridiculous. So, and then you're in Star Wars territory.
Yeah.
In terms of FPS, so I think I'm kind of hoping that they. I mean, playing the Call of Duties in World War II was some of the best. Just purely because it was so brutal and so realistic.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that World of War.
It's all gone futuristic and a bit silly with lasers and flying around in suits and.
Yeah. And they've got some big, they're coming up against some big boys. You pointed out there with Star Wars, Destiny as well, is going to be there or thereabouts, competing for that kind of crown that it's kind of going for. So, really, it needs to kind of be, right on point. And from sort of last year's kind of effort, which I had for under a week, it needs to do a lot more than that to earn my money this time around.
Advanced Warfare was successful in sales in terms of a reboot of the franchise, but they're talking about having three developers now. So you're going to have Sledgehammer, you're going to have Infinity Ward, who made MW3, and then you're going to have Treyarch, who did the Black Ops ones. And you've got three studios doing it in rotation. I mean, where are you going to go with it? That's what I don't really foresee.
For me as well, is that there's no continuity there. If you're going to give it people on a 3-year cycle, then us as players, us as consumers, we've got no continuity. The things are going to change every year, and then 3 years later they're going to rotate back and things are going to feel kind of old again. It doesn't really make sense to me. If they give them on a 3-year license and you say okay, you've got it for the next 3 years, then that, for me, they could then improve their game kind of year in, year out. Whereas at the moment they're not able to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like FIFA, though. I mean, that is the same thing, isn't it? It's football.
Yeah.
In the same way as Call of Duty is just shooting people. And it's the same thing they release year in, year out. I mean, I don't know how FIFA gets away with these like marginal updates, really, and some games, like if you think about the Formula One series that Codemasters produced, they're actually removed features this year, and it's quite skinny, you know, like they've done with the golf, you know,
you were saying about Rory McIlroy, weren't you, on the show the other week, that a lot of the features and things, the courses and stuff are missing. We're starting to get really kind of almost feels like we're getting skinned a little bit, you know, because what will happen is that they'll offer the stuff as DLC later on down the line.
Yeah.
But
and then you'll get into the habit of what people have been doing is waiting for the Game of the Year edition, which, you know, has all the content rather than, you know, getting fleeced for like 80, 90 quid.
Yeah, and at least by that point you're going to know whether it's a good game or not, aren't you? You're going to know whether it's actually worth spending the, what, 30, 35 quid on rather than the 60 quid, and then, you know, another 20 for the season pass and whatever else.
I think with Black Ops 3, you'll just have to wait and see. I mean, Treyarch are pretty good at delivering the Black Ops experience, so I wouldn't be put off by what Advanced Warfare, because that is a different studio completely, and each Call of Duty game does feel different to the last one, so...
Yeah,
my jury's out on that. I mean, I really enjoyed Titanfall. Now, if the free running in Black Ops is similar to Titanfall, then I'm gonna love the pants off that game, Black Ops, when it comes. Yeah. If it's like a bit sort of clunky, like Advanced Warfare, maybe not so much. But there'll be loads of reviews. So. As you say, that, you know, there's loads of stuff out this year. It's probably more than most years. So there's plenty of time to wait and see with a lot of these titles.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, we've got bloody, you know, Santa season's not too far away, when, you know, mums and dads will be getting fleeced for the tripe that some of these studios will be turning out. Yeah. You know, hopefully, boys and girls, closer to the time, we'll be able to help you pick a few gems from from the pile to kind of keep you busy, you know, through the winter months. But
it's going to be all that minion stuff, isn't it, this year?
Yeah. my kids love that stuff, man. Absolutely adore it.
I've been actually eyeing up the Skylanders stuff, in strangely. It just looks really cool. And you've got Disney Infinity, haven't you? 2.0.
You have, I mean,
you've got Skylanders. They seem to have loads of different versions of Skylanders.
They have. I think there's kind of three, or might even be four, versions of it. There was Trap Team, there was Giants, there was the sort of vanilla version. I can't think. What was the one where you could kind of separate them?
Again, you're looking at, what, 15 quid a figure, depending on which one. I mean, how many are there? There's like 40 in there or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it ain't cheap, mate. I mean, two of my lads, Tom and Joe, they've both got a shed load of these figures. Tom and Joe. It's ice cream, and that's Ben and Jerry's. They've both got loads of these figures, and you know, they don't even play the game anymore. So
no, they just collect.
They don't even collect the figures. All the figures are doing is collecting dust. I would, you know, I mean, I know with sort of, you know, sort of pressure from kids and stuff, that parents will go out and buy these things, and, you know, some, you know, kind of kidults will collect these things and have them in a glass display cabinet or whatever, and, you know, if that's what floats your boat, then, you know, crack on, and, you know, you go and waste your money. But I just think it's a way of you know, of fleecing people, in my opinion. And, you know, for the sake of the kids, you know, I've kind of put up with it. But I'm glad they don't play it anymore, mate, if I'm being honest with you. Really am. You know, like you say, £13 a figure. You know, there's umpteen figures to collect. They bring out a new season every year. And what do they do? I mean, they're not even kind of... You can't sort of move them around. You can't put them in poses or whatever. They're just... It's a little figure. I know Tom's are in a bag upstairs. Joe's are in a bag in his room as well. There was a time where at CEX you could get like a £5 a figure trading. I think you're probably down to about 30p now. It's not worth it, but I might get them all on eBay one day and see what we can get from. Put a starting bid at 50 quid. And so
I think that might be winging it a little bit too far.
Just a little bit, mate. Just a little bit. Right, listen, mate. We've crept up to an hour, and I do know, boys and girls, that myself and John had kind of promised some people that we needed to go and play some Destiny with them. I think we might need to call it a night there, buddy. What do you say?
I think that's a wrap, don't you?
Yeah, definitely, buddy. Definitely. Right, well, boys and girls, as we said at the end of each show, I guess, don't forget you can get in touch with us on Twitter at AYB Podcast. You can email into us, you know, any questions, suggestions, ideas at AYBpodcast@gmail.com. You can get me on Twitter at Jimmy2Times.
And you can find me at Nefarian on Twitter.
Right then, matey. Well, until next week, boys and girls.
Arrivederci.